Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
That's good to be here. You know, having a background of spending time in confession, I felt like I should start out there and apologize to Pastor. Because last time Pastor asked me to preach, I declined. You know, and sometimes your flesh gets in the way and you think, you know, your local people, they don't want to hear from you. And sometimes that's true. But you know, what we need to focus on is the anointing in us that God put there. You know, and I never wanted to be a preacher. But when God calls you, you know, it's good to be obedient. How many of you know that's the case, right? You need to be obedient to what he does. And it's good to be here. I'm honored to be here. Thank you, Pastor, for having me. And well, let's do a little confession before we get started out here. Let's just, if you would repeat after me. I'm not going to be just a church pew warmer. That was kind of weak, but that was all right, I guess. I'm going to be a doer of God's word. On fire for Jesus. Living strong in these last days. Till the very end. And I love the preacher. That was the weakest one. Praise God. Well, it's good to be here. Tonight I'm going to talk about the ministry of availability. And I made some notes tonight, so pray for me, because I don't often preach with a lot of notes. And but then I remember Pastor said, somebody said, it's good to have notes because then you know when you're done. Right? So, praise God, I've got some notes tonight. So, the ministry of availability, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that and how that applies to the Great Commission. So, we're going to start out tonight on in Luke 18. All right. Praise God. Luke chapter 18. And we're going to read verses 28 and 29. Luke chapter 18, verses 28 and 29. Praise God. And welcome to you folks joining us on Facebook Live. Is that the right terminology, Scott? It's good to have you here. Praise God. Luke 18, verse 28. Then Peter said, "See, we have left all and followed you." 29, and he said to them, "Surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God." I'm going to go ahead and read 30 while we're at it here. "Who shall not receive many times more in this present time and the age to come eternal life." Praise God. You know, think about availability. They left all. I mean, they just picked up and left, right? And I know one time they thought about, you know, where would we go next? But praise God, they stayed, right? But, you know, they left all. And, you know, there's a big focus in our world now on stuff. I guess there always has been to some extent. We have more stuff now to be conscious of, right? And we've been doing some remodeling and stuff too, you know, and really all it is stuff. We're not taking any of that stuff with us, right? And I love this verse because it talks about, it hits you kind of square, really, but talking about leaving your house, that's probably the toughest for women, or maybe in my case, me, because Terry, she wouldn't mind leaving her house and going to a smaller one. But leaving your house, your parents, your brothers, your wife, or your children. But Jesus said, you know, when you do those things for the sake of the gospel, that you'll be blessed, basically. And the second part of that says eternal life. I like that part. And a lot of times, you know, people are not willing to do that. You know, they want to stick with what they have. And, well, I'll do this, Lord, but I don't want to do it if I have to leave my family or whatever. I know sometimes, you know, my family and even Shelby, she'll not want me to drive down to Dixon to preach to the Teen Challenge people. And sometimes I don't want to go. I tell those guys, hey, my flesh want to stay home, kick my lazy boy chair up into L, you know, when your legs go up there. Someone's L for loser. But, you know, I tell my flesh to shut up and go preach, right? But, you know, it's not always easy, you know, doing what God calls you to do. But I know there's a scripture about being not lukewarm that we should all be, focused on. But are we available for God, especially for the Great Commission? So I want, why don't you turn next to Mark chapter 16. And while you're turning there, Mark chapter 16, we're going to go to verse 15 there in a minute. But I'm going to read Isaiah 1:19 as you're turning over there to Mark chapter 16. Isaiah 1:19, the New King James says, "If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." In the New English translation, it says, "If you have a willing attitude and obey." In the Common English Bible, it says, "If you agree and obey." And my favorite is the Living Bible in this scripture. "If you will only let me help you, if you will only obey." I like that because a lot of times we miss out on the working with God part. And I'm going to read that here in a little bit. But if you will only let me help you, if you will only obey. But you think about how long Christians have been hearing about the Great Commission for since the beginning, right? But how many of us really do it? And if you look at those scriptures we just read about, you know, how many are willing and obedient or agree and obey? How many let God help and obey? And one of the questions I wrote down here is, which stage of Jesus' life are you in? You know, because, you know, for the early quiet days there, you know, he spent a lot of time in scripture and you know, fellowshipping with the Father, which is pretty important to actually know what you're talking about a little bit when you try to go out and share the gospel, right? But then he went out and ministered to the people. And, I preached many times in the jails and prisons about the first thing that he said when he started his ministry was repent, a word that's often missed in our churches, not ours, thank God. But in many churches, that's not a good word. It's bad for attendance, right? He said, repent and then follow me. But, you know, which stage are we in? Are we in the fellowship, reading the Bible stage? Are we in the second stage of sharing the gospel? And really, that stage, you're still in the fellowship stage. That never ends, right? But you know, we really need to think about, you know, are we in the stage of sharing the gospel? And really, the ironic thing about it is how many people would be like me and admit, when you first got born again, you maybe were better at sharing the gospel or trying to share the gospel than you are today even, right? Because you're brand new. I remember, Pastor, you know, I had similar experiences like when peace came in. I just never forget that day when I had peace for the first time in my life. And the love of God came in, you know, and you want to share that so much with other people. You know, you don't know anything. You feel like, I can't say anything, you know, but really, you know, people see that. They see the change that you have, you know. But, you know, what stage, you know, are you in your Christian walk? Because Jesus, you know, he didn't just sit around his prayer closet all day, you know, and just spend time with the Father. Well, he spent a lot of time with the Father, but he went out and did the Word, right? So you guys are at Mark 16. I'm going to read from the Amplified Classic Bible. Joanne, you have the Amplified Classic or the regular Amplified? Okay. I love the Amplified and the Classic because I love it when it draws things out a little bit more for us slow folks from South Dakota. But Mark 16, verse 15 says, "And he, Jesus, said to them, go into all the world and preach and publish openly the good news, the gospel, to every creature of the whole human race." That's pretty much everybody, huh? I love that. "To all the world, to every creature of the whole human race." And then, why? Why are we going to do that? Verse 15. Why are we going to do verse 15? Let's read 16. "And he who believes, who adheres to and trusts in and relies on the gospel, and him whom it sets forth and is baptized will be saved from the penalty of eternal death. But he who does not believe, who does not adhere to and trust in or rely on the gospel of him whom it sets forth, will be condemned." My friends, we're preaching the gospel to save people from the penalty of eternal death and give them a way better option called heaven, right? And sometimes I think we forget about, you know, sharing the gospel in the big picture stuff. And I'm going to read verse 19. "So then when the Lord had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Folks, this is just before he left the earth for the final time to go be with the Father in heaven, before he comes back. And 20, and he went out, and they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord was working with them and confirming the word by the signs that followed. See, the Lord works with us. You know, we sometimes say we're waiting on the Lord. Well, I think he's waiting on us most of the time, right? You know, he'd wait for somebody to work with him. And while you turn to John chapter 1, I've got a question I want to read off here. John chapter 1. So the question would be, why would Jesus tell us in his last sermon to go preach to the whole world if we're supposed to wait until the Holy Spirit draws them? Now think about that for a minute. And I put down three options here. I'm just talking out loud. Could it be that he's drawing them all the time? Or could it be whenever he finds someone to work with, then he's going to draw them? Or could it be it's none of our business when he's drawing them, and we're supposed to go preach the gospel to every creature and to the whole world? Right? I tend to think that too, Pastor. It seems like you're my pastor. We're going to go with number three. Pastor said the correct answer is number three. None of our business, right? When you think about that, sometimes we want to try to figure everything out, you know, and sometimes you'll hear Christians say, well, you know, I don't know if God's drawing them or whatever, but I don't really see any evidence that we're supposed to wait on that, right, because we don't know, you know, and I just want to encourage you that if that's one of the reasons that maybe you haven't been witnessing like you should, to just go do it, just be obedient. John chapter 1, 12. I told you to John 1. I'm going to read verse 12. But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Well, you know, we can't compromise the word. See, believing in that name. I have a friend, I'll just use his first name, Dave, from up north. And I don't know, I guess because I was a special project, God gives me special projects sometimes. Anybody have any tough friends that, you know, Pastor Jerry, you work in a factory, you should probably meet some people, you know, and Dave was one of those friends, but he's my friend. So Dave will call me up sometimes when he's having a few beverages, you know, and the last time that I recall, I was just in our prayer closet, the master bedroom closet, ready to record my podcast. And you know, I put it on silent. Right before that, Dave calls me. And of course, he's having a good time. And Dave, you know, the first thing Dave says is, don't be telling me that Jesus is the only way. I said, Dave, shut up. Jesus is the only way. Now, if I would do that with somebody on the street, I might get punched, right, Steve? I mean, but Dave was my friend. And I'm not going to compromise the word of God just because Dave's having a good time and he's doing something for the enemy and he wants to tell me that he's not the only way, because he is the only way. One of the greatest lies out there, right, is there's other ways to salvation. And but he's the only way. Believing in that name, verse 12. Now, one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible is Matthew 10:32. I've probably read it before and said it before, and I've preached on it many times. Therefore, and Jesus said, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Yes. You know, and I think about that. I see that as a continual process. You know, the Bible talks about continuing in the faith. You know, it's just not a one-time deal. Well, I confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then you live for the devil the rest of your life or yourself, whatever, right? This is a continual process, right? But I'll just ask you, and I'll ask our listeners, are you confessing Jesus before men? And then if we're doing that, are we telling others to confess him before men? Because really, that's one of the signs of Christianity. You know, and Pastor Nick, you and I have talked about this before. One of the concerns I have when I go out and share and talk to people, church people, is when they don't want to talk about Jesus. To me, that's one of the greatest flags, red flags there is, right? When you're out there and you want to talk about Jesus. I mean, I've turned into a Kenny Green. Y'all pray for me, right? And that's a good thing. Kenny, thank you for when I first came here years ago and never even, I don't think I'd met Pastor. I walked in the door of our church in Newburgh, and there was Kenny to greet me and talk to me about Jesus. And remember, I was just a little baby in my Pampers and my little binky and whatever, right? And Kenny starts talking about Jesus. And I'm like, this guy is crazy. But thank you, Kenny, because that's the way we should be, right? Because all this other stuff is temporary, you know? But in that verse, Matthew 10, 30, 32, I think about, why did Jesus not say, if the Holy Spirit draws him, then they can confess me? Notice it's not in there either. You know, I think sometimes we'll find any good excuse not to witness to the lost. And sometimes we use this book to come up with reasons why we're not going to do it, right? But why would God tell us in Mark 16, 20, they went out and preached everywhere and the Lord worked with them if we had to wait for them to be drawn, right? Because God's will is that no man should perish, right? And I think that should be our will too, right? That hunger for people, right? The souls of people. And I put down some notes kind of as I was thinking about this. God dropped this on my spirit a couple weeks ago and Pastor had asked me to preach about this message of availability. And I just kind of made up some notes here and some things that were in my mind about it. And one of the things I wrote down is don't seek the blessings, seek the one who blesses. Because sometimes, you know, we get so caught up in stuff. And, you know, not to pick on Kenny, but I think he and Emily are about as good example as anybody that's lived for God and been blessed. Because God's going to bless you. If you live for him, he's going to bless you. Right? And I've been so blessed, you know, and when a lot of people are trying to move up in their jobs and do this management job and this management job, I wanted to go down. Right? And not bragging on me, bragging on Jesus. I'm one of the highest paid guys in my profession of what I do in that area. And I didn't have to go up to do it and sell my soul and all that stuff that involves more time and all that because God has blessed me. Amen. And I've got favor with my bosses. My boss, his boss, and his boss are Christians. And my boss's boss's boss, well, I'm working on him. But praise God, you know, I've been blessed in my job. And I didn't have to move up and sell part of my soul and be out of town all the time and do all that stuff a lot of people do to get more money, right? Because God can bless you all by himself. He doesn't need all that extra stuff, right, that we do sometimes. But don't seek the blessing. Seek the one who blesses. You know, we're kind of in this spoiled brat generation. You know, we just, don't you ever, like at Walmart, just want to spank kids that you're around there at Walmart sometimes? Just, man, your parents haven't whipped you. You need a whipping, you know? But I guess we can't do that. We'll end up in jail. But, you know, and I like blessings. One of my favorite messages that God gave me in my podcast was God's benefit package. You know, we get these work benefit packages. They're terrible compared to God's benefit package, right? Yeah. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field, everything we put our hands to prospers. With, you know, I mean, it's just, it goes on, right? And I'm a big fan of all that, right? But again, it's what are we really focusing about? You know, and I think one of the toughest things on our flesh is ministering one-on-one to people, you know, especially if maybe you're a little bit shy. I don't know, most times people don't accuse me of being shy, typically. But I think even then, you know, one-on-one to people can be real tough on our flesh. But, you know, we need to remember what the last thing Jesus said when he left to be with the Father is to go preach this gospel to all the world. And he didn't give any excuses for our personalities, right? He said to everybody. And, you know, maybe sometimes just a text or a phone call, you know, in these times of modern stuff. Thank God for people like Scott that can help us with these things. But, you know, maybe it's a text or phone call, just checking in or caring about people, you know. And I had a recent text I got back that I want to read you that just really blessed me from a friend of mine in West Virginia. And he said, miss seeing you too. You always seem to remind me to put God first when I stray away from his word. Thank you for that. You know, I thought a lot about that since then. And, you know, he's not a good close friend, but I thought, you know, there's so many little things we can do for people that have such a big impact on them that you don't really realize. Just some little bit of encouragement, you know. And, you know, I love sports as much as anybody, and really less and less all the time because God has really been coming out of sports so fast in these last number of years exponentially. When I was growing up, there was a lot of good godly people in sports, and And I believe Satan has taken over most of that. Hello, sports fans. But, you know, those conversations aren't going to mean anything for eternity. You know, but encouraging somebody about the Word of God is a forever thing. And you never know when people are having an issue, you know. And, you know, I had lunch with a friend the other day that's struggling, going through some major stuff. You know, and sometimes you get around friends and they're like, you know, I'm really struggling with God right now. And you know, when they need to be drawing closer to God, they draw away. And, you know, this particular gentleman, and again, with friends, you can just be a lot more blunt, right? And, you know, I said, you know, what would your grandpa tell you? His grandpa lived with him later in his life, and he would read the Bible through to the end, and when he get to the end, he'd flip it back to the beginning and start over again. And God put that on my spirit, you know, because he knows better than anybody. I said, what would your grandpa tell you to do, really? Because, you know, he read the Word of God and studied the Word of God and, you know, just lived off the Word of God, you know. And sometimes it's those little things we can say to people, you know, that help them. And maybe it's just, you know, checking in, you know, but we got to disciple people also. It's not just bringing people to Jesus, right? And thank you, Pastor, for being such a good shepherd for us. You know, Pastor Crabb did a podcast here with me a little while back talking about you're really not looking for a church, you're looking for a shepherd. And we're so thankful, Pastor, for you and how you helped us grow up and so we can get our Pampers off and get to the big boy drink cups and then move on from there, right? But thank you so much. But, you know, maybe it's a Bible verse. The other day I got a text from another friend about an hour from Evansville. I don't want to say any names here. But in this particular case, I forwarded my podcast, and this just made me laugh. And she texted me back and said, I listened to it this morning, Greg. I haven't been listening to them for the last 524 days. But I'll try to do better. Good pod or podcast, right? And, you know, not just bragging on me, bragging on Jesus, but, you know, we're talking about availability for God. And we give up too easy. You know, and I've talked to this particular person a number of times. I know him from work or whatever, you know, and it'd be really easy to give up. But, you know, God worked through me to get a seed planted there after 524 days. And that seed's in there growing, right? You know, and sometimes we think, oh, it just takes forever, you know, they're not going to listen or whatever, but remember, God's working with us. If we work with Him, He's working with us. You know, and you know, I was thinking about pastors I was preparing too, but I forget who your example was of somebody needed some money and God told them, I've asked 100 people to get you that money. And sometimes God asks 100 people to go talk to somebody, right? And maybe it's the 100th one that finally does it because some of them are tough to talk to, right? But, you know, maybe that could be us, right? And we can't give up on people. You know, maybe it's following up with somebody after you sent them their testimony. So, Sam and Ellen, are you glad I called you up and bugged you one more time? You know, and you know, the devil will get in there and say, man, don't call up and bug your friends and they think you're crazy already, and so on and so forth, right? And but really, love doesn't give up. God never gave up on us. You know, if we'd have been God, we'd probably just be a burnt spot in the sidewalk right now, right? But He never gave up on us. And God's a good God. So, you know, Sam, I'll never forget you calling me when I was on my play gym when God got a hold of you. And Sam's even slightly older than I am. I won't give his age, but I'll be turning 60 in September. And Sam's a little older than that, right, Ellen? So, you know, but God is always trying to get people. He's always trying to reach people. And Sam, you know, if you don't mind, Sharon, if it's okay for me to say, what that prayer that you had, you know, for so many years that you would pray out each night before you went to bed. You remember exactly what you said? Please show me the truth. See, people are out there, they're looking for the truth. God's not trying to hide the truth. He's trying to get us the truth, right? And that's such a powerful prayer, Sam. And, you know, if there's other people out there praying that same thing out there, and God's looking for people to work with him to go sit down and talk to him or get him a message or encourage him or whatever it happens to be. And maybe that's you or me, right? And I'm preaching to myself just like I'm preaching to you because I'm working on getting better at all this. You know, maybe it's street ministry. I think I probably have grown up more from the calling of what I did in street ministry than anything I've done. Because people yell things at you. And then about your mama. Right? They're not always real nice. I've had people show up in devil costumes before. And, you know, but I remember one time in particular thinking about, I wanted to get this guy in a headlock. I boxed in college. And I was thinking, man, I'm going to get this guy in a headlock. I'm going to work him out. And just then the Holy Spirit said, that's not love. You know, he's right. That was not love. I was fixing to do something, love him after that, right? And pray for him. But, you know, maybe it's something like that. And sometimes, you know, maybe even church people look down on people that do street ministry. I don't know. But, you know, maybe it's the senior home. Pastor talked about the senior home. And, you know, I miss that still today. But I remember that voice from the Holy Spirit, just like we're talking, I'm talking to you right now, as clear as I'm saying this. He said, I don't want you going there anymore because they want a hireling. And I did not call you to be a hireling. See, and I could see it coming as they brought these managers in there that fresh out of college that had been taught about how you can't tell people about Jesus and you have to preach all these religions and don't tell them about the salvation message, just tickle their ears. And, you know, so God kind of prepared me for that. But you know, I missed it because, you know, I missed the people. And God, he's always trying to reach people. I remember this one man in particular, Jack, that, you know, was in, I would say, late 70s probably. And Jack's, you know, he would always come up to me after my service and he would say, man, I just love your preaching, but I'm a so-and-so, fill in a blank for denomination. And the next time, like clockwork, he'd come up again and say, hey, I love your message, but I'm a so-and-so. I said, Jack, it's not about that. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus. You know, and after a couple years of that, Jack lost his mind. And he didn't have another opportunity, you know, because God had sent that opportunity and presented the gospel to him over and over again. And, you know, none of us are going to heaven on our denomination. I'm sorry. If you're out there tonight and you think you're going on your denomination, you need to hit your knees tonight and repent because you're not going on your denomination. Your denomination did not die for you on the cross. Jesus did. And he's got to be first, no matter what, before anything else. Well, Shelby, I didn't make a message without crying, so whatever number I'm on for that. God is so good. What a great God. You know, maybe it's grabbing someone at the company dinner function. Miss Joanne, I used to work at the same company with different divisions, but I would have to say that a minority would be an understatement of people there that are not drinking. I would have to say an extreme minority in many cases, right? And, you know, when I gave my life to Jesus, you know, you do what God tells you to do, but I heard at the altar, I want you to go home, take all your alcohol and pour it down the drain. It was very clear. When I got back to Evansville, I poured all that. I had a big alcohol cabinet, too. Some of you would have cried, right? But I poured all that stuff down the drain, right? And so, but maybe at a company function, it's grabbing somebody and pulling them aside and talking about Jesus instead of, you know, hanging out, doing whatever they're all doing, right? There's so many little things that we can do, you know? I wrote down another question here. Are we mainly available for things we want to do for God or everything he asks us to do, especially witnessing to the lost? I looked up some definitions for available. This is interesting. A couple of them were suitable or ready for use, of use or service at hand, or readily attainable, accessible, or my favorite here, the definition said, free or willing to do something, not occupied. See, a lot of times we occupy ourselves with these things that maybe aren't that important. Huh? Am I the only one? I can have an excuse for not having a clean garage because, you know, Pastor always preaches about don't stay home and clean your garage. But you can come look at my garage, but I've not stayed home to clean my garage. And maybe someday we should have a family get together for church and we can work on that. But, you know, sometimes we get all caught up in things that don't really matter that much versus the eternal stuff. And as you get older, you start thinking about them a lot more. You know, and do we sometimes say, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm busy. I don't have time to tell people about Jesus. Again, I got my family, I got my house, I got my toys, I got my stuff to do, I got my whatever, my yard, whatever it is, right? And you know, one of the things that the Lord has shown me is like, it's like we put this do not disturb sign out. Like when you're in a hotel room, you got those little things sticking your door, do not disturb. Leave me alone, right? And it's like we're in this room of life, and we got this do not disturb tag out, you know, and God's like coming to get somebody to help, and we got that tag out, right? Because we're busy. Hey, God, sorry, I love you, but I'm busy right now, right? I'm sure we've all done that at times, right? Because we, you know, nobody's perfect, right? But we can improve, right? You know, and maybe availability could be something like God asked me to do, to spend 2 or 3 hours a night on a project. And, you know, try to reach people for Jesus. And try to help people grow up in the Lord a little bit, you know. And there's been many nights that I've been tired. I don't want to stay up and do my podcast. And my family can vouch for that. There have been many times they've been in bed and I've been finishing up. But I committed to God until He tells me to quit. I'm going to keep going. And I truly believe there's people, I'm getting a lot of hits from Belgium right now in different countries and states that I don't know anybody. And but I believe that God had a plan. He told me. He woke me up in the middle of the night, you know, about 570 days ago now, and said, you know, it's funny, Scott, remember, he said, what I heard is I want you to start a daily audio recording. And Scott's too nice to say this. Basically what he said is, you dummy, that's a podcast. You know? And so, hey, thank you, Scott. You know, and but what I didn't realize is it was going to take me 2 or 3 hours a night to prepare. But, you know, God knew I needed more time in the Word of God. I didn't have 2 or 3 hours a night. You know, I had all 24 hours crammed with stuff. But guess what? I had 2 or 3 hours. So, God, you know, I made room for it. You don't realize how much a little time watching the TV show here or Fox News there or whatever adds up in the course of a day. And you become more organized and focused, like, okay, I'm going to fit this in because God said I'm going to do it, right? And maybe that's not going to be yours, praise God. But, you know, sometimes we'll say we can't even spend 10 minutes a day or 10 minutes a week, and much less 2 or 3 hours a day, right? But I'm talking about availability for God. And, you know, maybe it's taking some of our prayer time for people and going and talking to them. And maybe the God's saying, hey, I know I got your prayers. Now I want you to work with me. And I want you to go see so-and-so. I want you to talk to him about the Lord, right? And tell him how much you love him and how much Jesus loves him. Planting those seeds, right? Because sometimes I think we stop with the prayer and then we leave the doing out in terms of going and talking to people. Here's a good one. How about maybe quit making excuses to get into the ministry of helps at your local church? Instead of expecting everybody else to serve you. Everybody say, I love the preacher. All right. I'm talking about ministry of availability now. Okay. You know, it's just easy because God made us to want to take, right? And you all are in church. You did the very basic. A lot of people can't even get to church, right? Praise God. Thank you for coming to church, right? But God's still wanting us to grow up. Right? It's not like we reach a certain level, okay, now you've arrived, right? But maybe there's some ministry in church, like toilet cleaning or something, rather, one of those good jobs. See Sister Phyllis. So praise God. You know, sometimes it's putting our ministry on the back burner and helping somebody else, helping your local church. you know, and God called me to this church. God called, hopefully, you to this church. And a lot of you all have some talents and things, but, you know, God really doesn't want to know what we know until he can trust us to serve somebody else and be under somebody else's ministry, right? And you know, God will bless you where you're at. And sometimes we think he's got plans different than what he's got for us, right? But if we just serve and do what we're supposed to do, then God's going to bless our ministries, right? And, you know, and I think one way we could test ourselves in that is new people at church. You know, and you never notice how people, sometimes they'll be saying about any church, these people aren't friendly. You know, it's typically the most unfriendly ones there, right? Just talking, yeah. Right? But, you know, trying to seek out those new people and love on them, you know, and, you know, Pastor Jerry and Kay, I notice when you guys do that. And thank you. And Kenny and Emily and a lot of you others in here that will do that is to go see the new people and love on them. Because guess what? They maybe got their little diapers on like I do when I start coming to church, and maybe they're not all cleaned up, and maybe they leave bird droppings on the seats or whatever, right? Because they're not cleaned up yet. Right. But they still need love. And if they get the Word of God, then they're going to be able to help and grow up in the Lord, right? So I thank you for those examples out there. You know, and here's a tough one. I didn't want to even say this one, but, you know, maybe it's trying to talk so many times to some of your friends. About Jesus, that they won't hardly talk to you anymore. But their salvation is more important than your friendship. I got some hard-headed friends. And, you know, some of them, it's obvious when they don't want to talk to you because they don't like your message. And, you know, you do it with love and... But, you know, it comes down to priorities. Do we care about their soul? You know, and at the last minute when I came to church, I brought my little visual guide and God is good. That's going to be start working on wrapping up here a little bit. But, you know, in James, I think it's 4:14, it says our life is like a mist, like a vapor. And then it's gone. And, you know, if you think about that and your life is cut in half by some terrible disease from the devil or something or other, it's half of that vapor. But we spend so much time focused on that vapor. When eternity is like the ocean and beyond. And we just get so focused on the wrong things. And so, you know, when it comes down to our friends and do they know Jesus? You know, we need to have some stick-to-itiveness, if that's a word. You know, we can't give up so easy on our friends. You know, maybe it's going to preach when there's no offering. But you know, then you can just preach whatever God tells you to preach to, right? Maybe it's losing some sleep and praying in the Spirit for somebody. Sister Phyllis, you came to mind when I thought about this because I know you're such a prayer warrior, and I appreciate you. We are so blessed to have Sister Phyllis. And all the behind scenes she thinks she does, and that's one of them. You know, how about this? Well, maybe it's standing up for God in the area of godly marriages and stopping the slaughter of innocent babies. Because I'm telling you, many churches are not standing up for that. And, you know, I believe it's one of the ways in these end times we could tell if people are living for Jesus or if their church is turned to Satan. Just because you have Jesus on your sign doesn't make you a church. Right. And if you're out there listening tonight, you're going to one of these churches that's supporting the slaughter of babies and ungodly marriages, you need to get out of that church and find you a church. Because you are in danger in your soul going to that church. Because God is not a fan of that. God ordained marriage, and he loves babies. Amen. Yeah. And I surely hope you're not voting for people that are doing those things. You know, and I've talked to Christians recently. I've met with them. And they say, well, I don't support the abortion, but I think the environment's more important. Do you know what they're saying? Yeah. They're living for the god of this world, Satan. And their world is more important than an innocent little baby in a mother's womb. I'm telling you. But sometimes, you know, folks, we got to stand up for those things, right? One of my last notes on here is maybe it's thinking about the fact that the majority of people in the world every day that died are going to hell. And you and I had the answer to stop that before they took their last breath. Matthew 7:24 says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." Sometimes I think we think we're on the rock, but in this area of witnessing, are we really on a mixture of sand and rock? Because it's very important to God that we minister and we share the gospel with people. And I'm not going to read all of James 1, verse 22 and 25, but I like the Amplified. It says, "An active doer who obeys, he will be blessed and favored by God in what he does in his life of obedience." Are we an active doer when it comes to witnessing to the lost? Are we available for God for that? John 14:12 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also the greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." But see, if we're too busy with life and our stuff, we're not going to do the greater works. People are like, "Well, I can't do all these things Jesus said." We're supposed to do greater things than Jesus said, right? Matthew 7:21, "Not everybody who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Folks, the last thing Jesus said when he left the earth was to go preach the gospel to the entire world. That's the Father's will. And that verse says that those that do the will of the Father are the ones that are going to heaven, right? And I truly believe this, and I've had the Holy Spirit tell me many times, there's many pastors, preachers going to hell. And it's hard to say that, but when you corrupt this word of God and you twist this to what you want it to mean, you're on the devil's team at that point, right? And I'm so thankful for our pastors here that preach the word of God, because God is not going to change for us. And, you know, we need to make sure people know in these end times to preach this word boldly and not to dilute it or change it or soften it. And, Pastor, one of the things that I love when you talk about is that love is giving people what they need, not what they want. See, our flesh wants the easy gospel. You know, "I don't want to go to church. I don't need to share the gospel. I'm a good person." We hear that a lot, right? See, but we need to give people what they need. They need a Savior. And so, you know, one way to test our obedience and our availability to sharing the gospel, and this is tough, I know, but it's rear ends in the church pews. Come on, folks, we should all have people. Now, Sam and Ellen, you're new. I'm not talking to you. But all of us, and those of you out there that couldn't make it tonight, or those who are listening for your own church, you know, there should be people in the church pews, not your family, but other people that we've all invited. Because it's just an outgrowth of witnessing to people, right? Sam, I remember, and I don't always invite the people that I've led to the Lord to our church, but I felt very strongly impressed that you guys needed to be here in our church, under our pastor, under our shepherd, right? And I think I've made that clear that to you guys, that I really felt strongly impressed in that. And because where you go to church is so important. You got to be plugged into the right place. And you guys, I just know it's coming down the road, months and whatever down there, you're going to know that this was the right place for you, because you guys are our family. God meant for you guys to be here. And we love you guys and thank you for being obedient to God. But God has a pastor and a church for you. But, you know, some of your friends need to be in some of these empty seats out here, some of my friends, right? It's just an outgrowth of sharing the gospel and not worrying about what they think about when we pray in tongues. Oops, we pray in tongues here. Why? Because the gospel says you should. You know, and because we could pray God's knowledge on the situation, not our knowledge. I like his knowledge a little bit better, right? And so the last thing I put on here, last question, I'm wrapping up here. Have we taken a hard crash witnessing? Have we taken a hard crash witnessing to someone in the past and got thrown off the bicycle? Well, maybe it's time to get back on the bike. Come on, I know it's not always easy witnessing to people. I could tell some stories about witnessing. I could tell you what not to do, you know, what works, and because you learn as you go, right? But, you know, when I was young, which I was young at one time, Shelby, and in shape, and we had this huge tree that grew underneath the sidewalk. And so the sidewalk had this thing like this, and I would drive my bicycle as fast as I could and hit that thing and fly over that thing on my bicycle. I mean, you talk about good, clean fun, right? Well, one day it didn't work out so well. I kind of hit it crooked, and I crashed into the building next to the thing, right? And I had a concussion. I passed out, and the beauty salon was there, and the ladies drugged me in there. They thought I was dead. But as you can see, I survived. I made it. But, you know, I got back on my bike. And, you know, if you've had a tough time in witnessing in the past, and, you know, just get back on the bike, right? Because, and if you need to think about something that helps you, think about that mist of time that your friends or family are in that, you know, none of us are going to get a do-over, right? We all got this chance, and we have some family members that we believe that we're going to have to reach on their deathbed because, you know, compared to mules are not stubborn compared to some of these people we know, right? Right? But if that's what it takes, then that's what we're going to do, right? And we're going to be there, and but hopefully we don't have to wait for everybody, right, that has to get to their deathbed, right? And you know, I want to be obedient to the Holy Ghost. He put a song on my heart on the way here. I'm just going to sing. And Scott, if you could put those words up there. And hopefully I can actually get something. But I'm so thankful for Jesus. I'm going to try to do this a cappella, and y'all help me out if you would. But this is the song that God put on my heart earlier today, and y'all, anybody y'all know that song? Thank God for Jesus. What a great God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. He's my master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. His name is Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms, they will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Kings and kingdoms, they will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I just want to encourage you, that's all we're doing. We're telling people about Jesus. He already did all the work, died on that cross for us at Calvary. You know, and he thought about us on that cross at Calvary. What a great God. And we have so many
millions and millions of years in heaven to look forward to. But I know we all want to bring as many people with us as we can, and just want to encourage you just to, you know, and set yourself a goal. You know, don't look back, say, well, I wish I'd have done this. It doesn't matter, right? Paul said pressing forward, right? We all have to do that. We'd all like to have done more witnessing. We'd all like to have read our Bible more in the past. That doesn't matter, right? So moving forward, we just say, okay, set ourselves a goal. And, you know, I'm going to talk to somebody. And, you know, Tyler and I shot by the car wash today because I got a new friend there that I've been talking to about the Lord, and believe he'll be here in church sometime soon. 21-year-old young man that, you know, it's tough being a kid nowadays. You got so much, there's so much devil out there for those kids to go after, you know. So, but you know, just get yourself a project or two or three and just keep growing from that.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.